With me in God's holy word to the book of Second Chronicles. And we'll begin reading the last verse of chapter 9. Please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very word. That's where we'll start. Verse 31 of 2 Chronicles chapter 9. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. And now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Come to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered them harshly. And forsaking the counsel of the old men, King Rehoboam spoke to them according to the counsel of young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by God, that the Lord might fulfill his word, which he spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Each of you to your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David." So all Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. And then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor, and the people of Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. When Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen warriors to fight against Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, "Say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, thus says the Lord, You shall not go up or fight against your relatives. Return, every man to his house, for this thing is from me. So they listened to the word of the Lord and returned and did not go up against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem, and he built cities for defense in Judah. He built Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Beth-Zur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marisha, Sith, Adoram, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ahijalon, and Hebron, fortified cities that are in Judah and in Benjamin. He made the fortresses strong and put commanders in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. And he put shields and spears in all the cities and made them very strong. So he held Judah and Benjamin. And the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel presented themselves to him from all places where they lived. For the Levites left their common lands and their holdings and came to Judah and Jerusalem because Jeroboam and his sons cast them out from serving as priests of the Lord. And he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat idols and for the calves that he had made. And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah. And for 3 years they made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, secure. For they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. Rehoboam took as wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse, and she bore him sons, Jeush, Shemariah, and Zaham. After her, he took Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, who bore him Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and concubines. He took 18 wives and 60 concubines, and fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. And Rehoboam appointed Abijah the son of Maacah as chief prince among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. And he dealt wisely and distributed some of his sons through all the districts of Judah and Benjamin and all the fortified cities. And he gave them abundant provisions and procured wives for them. When the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. In the 5th year of King Rehoboam, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And the people were without number who came with him from Egypt, Libyans, Sukkim, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. And then Shimei, the prophet, came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you abandoned me, so I have abandoned you to the hand of Shishak." And then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shimei, "They have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. And nevertheless, they shall be servants to him, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything He also took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made, and King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard came and carried them and brought them back to the guard room. When he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to make a complete destruction. Moreover, conditions were good in Judah. So King Rehoboam grew strong in Jerusalem and reigned. And Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite, and he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. And now the acts of Rehoboam from first to last, are they not written in the chronicles of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer? There were continual wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son reigned in his place. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord God, as we read about the life of this man, we pray that you would come by your Spirit and that the lessons that you would have for us, that you would make them clear and plain to us in these verses of Holy Scripture, and you would write them upon our hearts, that we would see how much we need you, Lord Jesus, and we would run to you even this day, and we would not follow in the footsteps of such foolishness. And it is in Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. As we begin to look now more at these kings, you remember we saw back in chapter 7, and if you'll turn back with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, there is a key verse that is going to outline for us as we go through the rest of the book of 2 Chronicles, either the downfall or the revival and blessing of all of these kings. These key phrases and terms and concepts are going to be striking once you begin to notice that when kings leading God's people humbled themselves and prayed and turned from their wicked ways and sought the face of the Lord, then God would hear their prayer, and He would look from heaven and forgive them and heal them. But when these kings refused, and the people refused to humble themselves, to pray, to seek God's face, to turn from their wicked ways, then there was heartache and disaster. And so we begin to see. And it's interesting that with the life of King Rehoboam, we see a mixture, seemingly. And yet overall, when he did seemingly humble himself and pray, and seek the Lord's face and turn from wickedness, it was just for the moment. It was just on the surface. What a sad testimony. And the result was chaos and destruction. The result was that this young man, we see, begins by refusing to humble himself. He walks in pride, and you see that in chapter 10. If you'll look there with me. Rehoboam, he has just become king. And the stage is set. As soon as Rehoboam had become king, there's this character by the name of Jeroboam, who was one of King Solomon's chief men. And there had been a falling out between Jeroboam and Solomon, and Jeroboam had fled to Egypt. And now he comes back. You remember that God had announced that because of David's sin, that the kingdom would be torn away, but he would not do it in David's day, nor would he do it completely, but that he would leave a remnant of the people of God there around Jerusalem for the sake of the covenant that God had made. The northern kingdom of Israel would exist from the days of David all the way down to when it was destroyed by King Sennacherib in 720 B.C. And we're going to see these kings of Israel and Judah sometimes standing against each other, sometimes foolishly joining together. But at this point, Jeroboam, he comes back and he speaks for the people. And King Rehoboam had this audience with him. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. Talking about King Solomon. And Rehoboam, he says, well, come back in 3 days and I'll give you my answer. And first he consults with the advisors that King Solomon had had, the old gray-haired men. And they told King Rehoboam, you know, if you will speak kindly and tell them, yes, I will lighten the load, then you will win the hearts of the people and they will follow you. King Rehoboam also asked the young men that he had grown up with that now were his attendants. And he said, well, what do you guys think? You know, we've hung out together all these years and we've had some really good times. I want to know what you think. And they gave him foolish advice. They gave him wicked advice. Now, that doesn't mean young people always are foolish. You remember there was a young pastor in the New Testament by the name of Timothy. And the Lord instructed him through the Apostle Paul to not despise his youth, that he was going to have to stand and he would have wisdom far beyond his years. But that being said, the Lord does tell us that it is generally very wise for us to listen to those who are older. And of course, how do you know whether the advice that older people are giving to you is good advice? Well, you hold it up to God's yardstick. And if the advice that is being given to you by those that are older is indeed in keeping with the Word of God, then you say yes. But if it is not, then you must obey God. rather than men. Well, these young men, they are not giving Rehoboam advice. The very first thing that God called upon His people to do, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, to be humble. Rehoboam, he just sets that aside. Why do I need to be humble? I'm the king. He is not humble before God, and therefore, obviously, he's not going to be humble before mere men. And so Rehoboam, he listens to these young Turks who are brash and do not fear God, and he answers them, "My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs." In other words, I'm a real man. My father, he wasn't much of a man. Now, think about who he's talking about. He's talking about King Solomon. You remember what we saw about his power, his wealth. And so that's how he answers. He says, "My father, he dealt with you with whips. I'm really going to put it on you. And you better straighten up and you better take to heart." And so when he answered that way on the third day, the people said, "We have no future here." And so Jeroboam led a revolt. And the kingdom of Israel was torn in two. And we had the majority of the tribes going with what would be referred to now as Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom, just as Judah and Benjamin. And that's it. Well, Rehoboam, when he saw what was going on, he sent this taskmaster over the forced labor, and the people of Israel, they stoned this man to death. And Rehoboam realized that he had lost this vast portion of his kingdom. And the last verse of chapter 10, "So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day." He refused to humble himself. God calls upon us to humble ourselves, to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. To deny what the world is saying in our day, to turn our back on the world, to be willing to stand against the popular movements of our day, socialism, wokeism, progressivism, and to confess Jesus is Lord, regardless of how men may scoff or make fun. We humble ourselves before the Lord. Well, Rehoboam decided that it was time to take action. And so in chapter 11, he summons his warriors together of the house of Judah and Benjamin. And it records for us there, he's getting ready to go fight against Israel to, by force, restore his empire, his kingdom. And we read in verse 2 of chapter 11, "But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the son of the man of God, say to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, thus says the Lord, You shall not go up or fight against your relatives. Return every man to his home, for this thing is from me. So they listened to the word of the Lord and returned and did not go up against Jeroboam. And so here we see that even though he has done this wicked thing, this foolish thing, that yet there is some relief. He's not destroyed. We see down in verse 13 of the turmoil that was going on. Jeroboam, he is now king up in Israel, and he's concerned that as long as Jerusalem is the place, which was in Judah, where people went to worship, that he would lose control. He would lose the hearts and allegiance of the people as long as they were going down to Jerusalem. And so he wickedly and foolishly dispersed all of the Levitical priests because he knew their allegiance was to the living God, and that they were committed to going down to Jerusalem. And he built for himself two golden calves. And you just go, you know, does that not ring any bells, buddy? Do you not remember a previous period of history when a golden calf was made and it didn't turn out well? But he makes these golden calves, and he then produces a priesthood, appoints men to be priests to worship the true and living God by these false man-made paths of religion that is an abomination in God's sight. And so we see turmoil, we see a chaos being introduced, idolatry on a wholesale fashion. And Rehoboam is down in Jerusalem. And so all of these Levites come flooding in now. And in verse 17 of chapter 11, we read, they strengthened the kingdom of Judah. And for 3 years they made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, secure. For they walked for 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. And so it appears now on the surface that, hey, things are looking up. Things are going to go better. But we have a real hint that no, things aren't really going to go better. As we see in verses 18 and following, Rehoboam following in the ways of the world. He sets aside the command of Almighty God that was given from the beginning of creation, and foolishly followed in the ways of Solomon and even David of having more than one wife. And here we have this record. He has 18 wives and 60 concubines, and it lists all of his the number of his children, and that he has this one particular son that he says, now, I intend to make him king. Well, in chapter 12, we see now what is really going on. Verse 1, when the rule of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard the expression of people getting jailhouse religion. You ever heard about somebody getting jailhouse religion? Well, what that means is that when people are in trouble, they'll seek the face of the Lord, but when the trouble is over, why do I need Jesus now? He got me out of trouble. That's all he's good for. And here we have one of the things that God does is He exposes what is in people's hearts. And one of the tools he uses to expose what's in people's hearts, sometimes he uses trouble and difficulties, where he takes us through the refiner's fire, showing the genuineness of our faith in Jesus. But other times, he shows the genuineness or lack thereof of faith by taking people through times of great prosperity. Both of those things. And you can see that over in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13 when the Lord Jesus described the different types of soil that the gospel seed is sown on. The first type of soil was like the path in the garden, hard packed. And when the seed of the gospel falls on it, it doesn't do anything. It just lies there on the surface because the ground is so hard. A person's heart is so hard. They just outwardly reject the gospel. And it pictures the birds of the air. Satan comes and snatches up the seed and it's gone. But then there is another type of soil. And it is the soil that is just a thin veneer of soil over rock. And it looks like this seed is really going to take root. It has the appearance of life. But when the sun comes out and beats down on that little plant, and that's like somebody who makes a profession of faith. They say, oh yeah, I love Jesus. But when the troubles come, they wither and show that they really don't belong to Jesus. They never have really been converted and are trusting in Him. And then the third type of soil that the Lord Jesus describes is the soil where the little plant looks like it's growing, it sprouts, it looks like it's alive, but then the thorns and the thistles come and just wrap around this little plant and choke the very life out of this little plant. It had the appearance. There was a profession of faith, but when all of the riches and the pleasures of the world come, it chokes out the life that appeared to be there. It proves that this person wasn't converted at all. And then, of course, the fourth type of soil is the soil that the Holy Spirit has plowed up. The Holy Spirit has made this soil good, and the gospel seed falls and it sprouts and grows. Well, Rehoboam, he doesn't humble himself and turn from his wicked ways and pray and seek the Lord's face. As soon as things are established, things seem to be going great. As soon as he was strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord and all Israel with him in the fifth year of King Rehoboam because they had been unfaithful to the Lord. Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen, and the people were without number who came with him from Egypt. There's this huge army that comes. And then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you abandoned me, so I have abandoned you to the hand of Shishak." And then the princes of Israel and the king, what'd they do? Humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, "They have humbled themselves I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be servants to him, that they may know my service." God says, I'm going to let him not destroy Jerusalem, but he is going to really put his hand on y'all. And you will see the difference between serving me and serving a pagan king. And by the end of the day, Shishak has humbled Israel, humbled Judah, humbled King Rehoboam in an amazing way. All the wealth that Solomon had gathered, Shishak carries off. He even carried off the gold shields that Solomon had made that were just a symbol of the incredible wealth and power. Shishak took those. And Rehoboam goes, "No problem. I'll have fancy shields. I mean, I can't afford gold, but I'll make them out of bronze." And he made this big show that every day this special guard would march in and out before him carrying these shields. It's a show. It's counterfeit. It's pitiful. Because even though he went through the outward motions of humbling himself, it was not from the heart. This is scary. This is scary. I remember when 9/11 happened. Do you remember when 9/11 happened? You remember that for a whole week, 7 whole days after 9/11 happened, the people of this country did what? Even news broadcasters on the mainstream media news were talking about how, oh, we need God. We need the mercy of God. But it was all just thin, thin show. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away the shields of gold that Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze and committed them to the hands of the officers of the guard who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard came and carried them and brought them back to the guard room. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him so as not to make a complete destruction. Moreover, conditions were good in Judah. So King Rehoboam grew strong in Jerusalem and reigned. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonite, and he did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now the acts of Rehoboam from first to last, are they not written in the chronicles of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer? There were continual wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son reigned in his place. Now why did God record this for us? It is to call us to, from the heart, not be playing games with the living God. To from the heart, to humble ourselves. To from the heart be those who would indeed pray and seek the face of the living God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning from evil, as God defines evil. Then God hears from heaven and forgives sin and will heal our land. That's what we need. We need Jesus to come and pour forth His Spirit. We don't need the surface revival of a Rehoboam. We need brokenness before the Lord, beginning right here. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, as individuals, we need You, Lord Jesus. As families, we need You. As a congregation, we need You. Lord, as a nation, we need You, Lord Jesus. We need Your Word. We need the Holy Scriptures. We need You to come by Your Spirit and to touch our hearts and grant us humility before You. Lord, we need You to grant to us a sense of urgency to pray to You in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, You're the only one who can give us access to the Father. You said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by Me." And so, Lord Jesus, we have turned from You, and we confess, Lord, that we need You, Lord Jesus, and we need Your standard of right and wrong to tell us who we are, to tell us that there are two genders, men and women, to tell us how sexuality ought to be expressed, to tell us what a family is, to tell us what marriage is, to tell us the roles of men and women, to give us joy as Your people, to live in terms of what You say a biblical church ought to be doing and believe, that we ought to be holding up the gospel according to Holy Scripture and not embracing a man-made religion. Lord, we desperately need You. And so, Lord, thank You for recording this for us, that we would learn from the life of King Rehoboam that a surface, a commitment to You it won't cut it. And so, Lord God, plow our hearts up this day and give to us a lively faith in Your Son and a broken heart over our own sin and joy to follow You, Lord Jesus. And we gladly give ourselves anew to You to love and serve and adore and follow You. Bless now as we continue to worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen.